Welcome to the radio broadcast of Mount Calvary Baptist Church. Your Bible teacher today is Pastor Jesse Wagoner.
I'll draw your attention to Luke chapter 19 as we continue a little study that we've entitled Near the Cross, looking at some folks that intersect the story of Jesus in these last events leading up to the crucifixion and obviously the resurrection. Today's the day that we call Palm Sunday, that we commemorate the triumphal entry of Christ into Jerusalem on that Sunday before this week of his passion. Now I'll begin reading in verse 28 of Luke 19. If you have a Bible, I would encourage you to follow along. Feel free to borrow one out of the seat backs in front. Maybe it's the brown volume there. Luke 19, verse 28. And when he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he drew near to Bethpage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village opposite you, where you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you loosing it?' thus you shall say to him, 'Because the Lord has need of it.'" So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, "Why are you loosing the colt?" And he said, they said, "The Lord has need of him." Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then as he was drawing near to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." You've read that story many, many times. All four of the gospel writers record the events of the triumphal entry. They all give little different bits and pieces of the story, and if you put it to the whole, you understand what is going on. But I want to draw attention to an unnamed person with a donkey. And in this story, Jesus just tells the disciples, two of his disciples, you go into the village there on the outskirts of Jerusalem, and you're going to find a colt tied. Colt is just a young donkey, if you will. And you find that you just loose it, and if anyone asks you, "Where are you going with this donkey?" you simply say, "The Lord has need of him." There's a lot of things in this story that I don't know the answer to. Was this event prearranged? And Jesus had and when you hear somebody say this, that's your clue that it's for me? Or was this a divine intervention? I tend to think the latter, although I can't prove it. There's questions about, well, how did these people react? How did they feel? I mean, think about it. A donkey would be the first century equivalent of your automobile. How would you feel someone just came up and said, "Give me the keys to your car"? And you say, "Why?" And they say, "The Lord has need of it." Would you buy that story and just drop the keys in their hand with no further thought? That's in essence what they do. But even though there's questions we can't answer, I want to think together with you about this reality that God in His providence and God in His blessing would include people like us. And the stuff that we have, our abilities, our time, our resources, our possessions, God uses our stuff, if we will permit Him, to bring ultimate glory back to Himself. God didn't need a family that had their family donkeys tied up out front to get Jesus into Jerusalem. Jesus had any other, he could have just called a donkey in from the wilderness if he wanted to. He's God. But instead, He had these people appointed, unnamed. We don't know anything else about them. We don't even know if they got their donkey back. We don't know if this was they lent their donkey to Jesus or they gave their donkey to Jesus. We don't know. But we do know this. Our God gives us every reason to offer Him all that we have. Whatever that is, whatever is precious to us, whatever we have at our disposal, if God would come calling and say, "The Lord has need of," fill in the blank, you and I have every reason to surrender that to the Lord for His glory. And I think that's the point of worship we want to reach this morning, to just think in terms of, "Lord, it's all Yours, unreservedly. Everything washed away of all of my selfishness and all of my desire to want to control and to retain. But Lord, whatever You need from me, whether it's my stuff or my time or my ability or my attention, It's all for you. And I just want to share with you three simple reasons this morning that we should just be have that sense that apparently these people had, no matter what their level of understanding was. But they simply said, and as you would imagine, why are you loosing the colt, verse 33? And the disciples said, the Lord has need of him, end of story. And Jesus descended down the Mount of Olives. And then the worship breaks loose, and you see that later as we just read toward the end of what I read to you. They quote in verse 38 from Psalm 118, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, all this worship, this messianic expectation. I've wondered if the people who had the donkey somewhere along the line, hey, that's our donkey. Or maybe not, I don't know. But God included them in the great work that he's doing. Number one reason, why should we just have this attitude of whatever we have, Lord, take it if you need it? Number one, because of who he is. Because of who he is. Well, they said it correctly in verse 38. He is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. And in fact, he's acting as a king. It might seem strange to us if someone just came and said, hey, give me your car keys, or in their case, give me your donkey just to surrender it. But it's a little different culture than our day. In fact, under Roman domination of the time, a Roman soldier could requisition anything you needed if he declared it was necessary for the welfare of the empire. In fact, Jesus referenced this. Remember, he said, if someone asked you to walk with them a mile, go two. If a soldier came up and just was tired of carrying his pack, he could get a citizen and say, you got to carry it for the next mile, and you had no recourse but to do that. It also, in their day, and we live in a different society, a different culture, where we have constitutional boundaries and rights and so forth. But in their day, with the king ruling as a sovereign, if the king needed what you had, he had the right to take it, no questions asked. If you had a field and he wanted to build something on it, you lost your field. I mean, that's just the way it was. In some sense, Jesus, in taking this donkey and asking for it and saying, the Lord has need of it, elevates it to the highest, and basically he is acting very king-like. And then they pronounce him as king. Why do we sometimes get stingy with what we have? You know, if all of us are honest with ourselves, there's a little bit of us that likes to control what is ours and keep what is ours and retain what is ours. There's a little streak of selfishness and stinginess that God, I think, really wants to wash out of us. And worship is the way to apply the solution for that cleansing, to get to the place to say it's all yours. You've come today, and you have said by your attendance today, you are saying that this is of value to you. You know, for most of us, time is a more important commodity to us than even our money. You know, sometimes it's easy to give a few dollars to whatever or do that sort of thing, but my time? Well, you've given your time this morning. There's a lot of places you could be other than here this morning, and I'll just be very frank with you. There's a lot of people that have been successful being other places than in church this morning. You understand that. But I commend you for being here because you've invested this time. Why? Because you've given it up for the Lord's purpose. You want to come to worship. You want to be instructed. You want to hear. You want to enjoy the fellowship of God's people. Thank you for being here. Why? Because he is deserving of it because of who he is. He is king. He is Lord. He is sovereign. He is God. And without him, you and I, if he is not the creator God, you and I do not exist. If he is not the gracious, benevolent, loving God that he is, you and I do not continue to exist. And if he is not the gracious, saving God, you and I do not have the promise of eternity with himself. Why do we just get to the point where we say, Lord, if you have need, take it. Because of who he is. Secondly, because of what he says. But because of what he says. I want to draw your attention down to verse 39. I stopped reading at 38, so we'll pick it up and down at verse 39, Luke 19. Now they're praising God. They're quoting from the Old Testament. They are saying with their lips. Now it's interesting because this is what they're saying on Sunday. But you understand before the week is out, Jesus is no longer being shouted and proclaimed as the king. The expectation did not match their template. And he's condemned to the cross. But fortunately, the following Lord's Day, Sunday, the first day of the next week, the stone is rolled away and the tomb is empty and our Savior has conquered death once and for all. But here they're saying it, whether they meant it in their heart or what was going on the inside, they are saying it. And the Pharisees heard it. And so some of the Pharisees called him from the crowd, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. They were proclaiming him the Messianic one, the Messiah, the King who's coming in the name of the Lord. That can't be true. So Jesus tell them to be quiet. Look at how Jesus replies. And he answered them, verse 40. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Friends, that is not hyperbole. That is not exaggeration. That is not metaphor. That is not symbolism. That is factual. At this particular moment, God desired that His Son, at least verbally and at least in this setting, would receive the due glory that was due Him from the lips of those that were around. And if they refused it, He would make the stones cry out with words of praise, literally. So Jesus was saying that what they were saying was true. It was not just they were overstating the case or they were missing the point, but they were saying He is the King. And that was true. The scriptures tell us, describing the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. He's always been the King. He always will be the King. John describes him that when he will appear yet future, that written on him is a name that says King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Why should we just say, Lord, whatever I got, it's yours? It's because what he says and what he says is true. Many of us sometimes suffer from the mistaken idea that we don't have much to give to the Lord. We look at somebody else that's got this gift or someone that has that ability or that talent, and we say, oh, they can really, that person could really be used by the Lord. And then there's me. Don't ever shortchange what God has done and invested in you being who you are. Maybe what He wants from you is just your voice. Those of you that are here this morning and know Christ as your Savior, somewhere, someone had to say to you, let me share with you, whether it was from a pulpit and a preacher or a parent or someone had to share with you the blessed gospel of what it means to be saved and Jesus died for your sins and so forth. Most of you that are here this morning that have become part of this family, this church, it's because somewhere, someone said, hey, why don't you come and worship with me Sunday? Or why don't you come over and just sample what's going on? That simple invitation or that simple statement from the Lord, you might, well, that's not much. Well, it wasn't much just to have a donkey tied up out front either. But when Jesus comes calling, will He hear from you? Will He hear from me? A willingness to say, Lord, take my voice, take my statement, take my heart, take my all that I have and use it for your glory. You might say, well, I don't have much resources. I put some money faithfully in the offering, but it's not much. Well, what God can do with a little. You see, Jesus borrowed a lot of things and made them better. He borrowed one little boy's lunch and fed a multitude. He borrowed a donkey and was proclaimed King. He was laid in a borrowed tomb and conquered death. What do you have that you can just say, Lord, this is yours? It's much more than a to-do list. It's much more an attitude. And it's one that God calls us to. Why do we have this? Why should we have this attitude of, Lord, take whatever, use whatever? We have every reason to do that. Because of who He is, because of what He said. Thirdly, because of what He does, His actions. If you read on in the story, very interesting and very unexpected if you don't know it ahead of time. Verse 41. So you have all this worship. He's now talked to the Pharisees and said the stones would cry out. Verse 41. Now as he drew near, he saw the city. At the Mount of Olives, as you top that hill, it's the best view of the city of Jerusalem as it was in that day, as it is in this day. And he wept over it. He begins to weep. He begins to cry, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day. What is this day? This was a significant day because He was offering Himself as their Messiah. It was true. It was a genuine offer. But He also knows it is being rejected in their hearts. This your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another. That literally happened in 70 AD when the Romans came in and destroyed the temple, destroyed the city. Many people lost their lives, and the rest were taken into slavery. Why? Because you did not know the time of your visitation. Their rejection, as you well know, led to Jesus being arrested, betrayed, arrested, tried, condemned, executed, laid in a grave. That seemed to be a politically expedient set of circumstances for those who wanted to destroy Jesus, but you and I know that was a spiritually significant event for us, because he didn't die for his own sins, he had none, but he died to pay the price once for all, the once for all sacrifice, shedding of blood for sins. And he did that for you, and he did that for me. How dare we? How dare we ever be stingy with our time, our money, our efforts, our voices, our feet, our possessions, when Jesus held back absolutely nothing to secure the salvation for a bunch of rebels like us? He's done it all for us. If you're here this morning, you're one of his children, I would just encourage you to let this reality of, as Jesus says, when they're asking about the donkey, why are you loosing the colt? The Lord has need of him. The Lord, no doubt, in his mercy and his grace, has need of something from you. Not that he couldn't make do without it, because he would like to partner with you in what he's doing. May God just refresh us with that attitude again this morning. And if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, the first step you need to realize is he did come to be your Savior. And without him, you have no hope in the future. And I would just encourage you, please, believer or non-believer, don't play games if you are. Don't just play at this Christian life. Say, Lord, whatever I got, take it. I'm all in for you. If you're here this morning, you're not saved, maybe there's something you're a little stingy about too. Maybe you think, you know, if I trust Christ as my Savior, I become a follower of Christ, a Christian, there's some people going to think I'm strange. Yeah, they probably will. Maybe I need to preserve my reputation. The Lord has need of that too. And he invites you to come to him. If you've never trusted Christ your Savior, as we come to close the service, even while we're singing the closing song, Pastor Tim will be here at the front, I'll be at the back. We'd be glad to pray with you and answer your questions and share the gospel with you. The choir has presented this wonderful musical this morning, picturing the gift of God's Son and his death on the cross and his resurrection. And it is because he lives that we can just go on and have this hope for now and for eternity. Don't miss that gift that's for you. Why should we have every reason to let God use all that we have when the Lord comes and says the Lord has need of him? Because of who he is, because of what he said, because of what he's done.
You've been listening to the radio broadcast of Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston. Mount Calvary Baptist Church is located at 1509 Bigley Avenue in Charleston, West Virginia. Worship services are at 9 a.m., 11, and 6 p.m. For more information, contact calvarywv.com.